The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Saturday, December 19th, 2020. I'm your host, Mr. Jolly of Sydney, and you can find me at Mr. Jolly of Sydney on Twitter. My co-host, or the better half, as he likes to call himself, Scotty the Haalander. There can only be one, and thank goodness for that. Haaland is having a well-earned day off, soothing his tired throat with some bourbon and cokes out in his balcony, probably. But thankfully, we have a man with us today joining me on the show, who is always working, and he comes from the city that never sleeps, New York City. I'd like to introduce a wonderful friend of mine. His name is Michael Hussey. He is the founder of several different startups, including way back when, Rate My Professor, even Rate My Teacher. He now runs something called Stat Social. He is the father of four wonderful daughters as well. He is at Hussey Michael on Twitter. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael Hussey.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Mate, it's my pleasure to have you on. How do you find time to do everything with that much going on?
Well, once you have kids, you have to select the sports that you want to focus on. And for me, it's basketball with I guess, football and baseball coming in second and third place, unfortunately. But I'm a long-time Celtics fan, long-time NBA fan, love statistics, love numbers, and, you know, glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Stat Social very briefly. Like, so what do you do with stats, and it's related to social media, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically we are helping brands and marketers understand who their customers are and what they do and talk about across all the major social media platforms like Instagram, and Twitter, YouTube, etc. And basically just connect the dots for a few hundred million people around the world, a few hundred million, and connect the dots to brands, databases, and analyze and identify trends and key segments of their customer base.
And you think, like, you've been working with statistics and working with the web for a very long time. You think that helps you play fantasy basketball?
I think so, in the sense that I spent a lot of time in Excel, a lot of time working with statistical models, and what I really like to do is take NBA data and put it into Excel and apply some of the same sort of analyses that I might do on a day-to-day basis. It helps sort of jog my mind away from, like, brand marketing data. It's much more fun to be looking at emerging players and emerging ranking prospects and things like that.
I think that segues nicely into the first thing I wanted to talk to you about today. Before we get to the box scores, we've got three games that we're going to get to. I'm going to talk with Mr. Hussey about his love for the Celtics, and we'll have a look at some of the Celtics players that are breaking out.
We're also going to have a look at some guys that he thinks are overvalued due to the preseason, people having short memories. We'll have a look at some overreaction guys as well, where people are overreacting to maybe some down areas too. And we'll have a look at the box scores for the three games today, which was Charlotte against the Orlando Magic, of course. And we've got Detroit against the Wizards and Atlanta against the Memphis Grizzlies. Before we do that, I need to tell you about something very important. The Bruise Letter, it is back. Oh, yes, it's back and it's fresh for the 2021 NBA season. Our founder and overlord, Aaron Brewski, is writing an email newsletter which is filled with his most intimate fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content. You cannot find it anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on any podcast. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter, and you can sign up and get it for free. You know, last season when I was playing, before I was involved with the HoopBall, I subscribed to this, and it was a huge help to me along with some other things, just really understanding the ins and outs of things as they take place during the season. So just go to bit.ly/bruiseletter2021. That's B-R-E-W. S Bruise Letter 2021 and sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is bit.ly/bruiseletter2021. Aaron Brewski, straight to your inbox. Mr. Hussey, let's jump into it, shall we? Let's talk about the Celtics first. Obviously, it was a bad game against the Nets, and I think you pointed out that the Nets were basically playing their full strength lineup. However, were there some things in that that disappointed you in terms of the potential breakout players, and who stands out for you?
As a Celtics fan, it's never fun getting pummeled. It's definitely never fun getting pummeled by Kyrie Irving and letting him do whatever he wants. However, just a little perspective, the second half of that game, Brad Stevens was running out rookies and second and third year players against a full strength Nets team. So I think what we saw there was Brad Stevens searching for a prospect or two that's going to be able to play regular rotation minutes. And so the bad news is pretty much all of them were disappointing last night.
What about Grant Williams? He's one that, despite maybe not being as fantastic as you'd hoped in the last couple of games, that you're still holding out hope. Can he add value in fantasy this season, or is he more of a real life player at this point than a fantasy value player?
Grant Williams is going to be fine. I think that he's undervalued in fantasy this year, only because if you look at his season long averages, particularly from deep, pretty dismal. What people who don't watch the Celtics every day probably don't understand is that he missed something like his first 30 to 40 three-pointers that he ever took in the NBA. Since that point, he's been nearly a 50% three-point shooter, and that continued on into the bubble. So I think once the rotation is established, you're going to see Grant Williams playing major minutes. By major minutes, I'm talking 20 to 25 minutes every single night. And I would expect to see him get 3 to 5 three-point shots up every night. And I'd like to see an average, 37 to 40%, I think is doable.
That would be tasty. I've just done a trade for him in Dynasty. I traded away Jarrett Allen. That was the centerpiece of it, with a guard, and I got back Aaron Holiday and Grant Williams. Now, I'm in a rebuild kind of mode, and I'm happy. I'm looking for good picks in next year's draft. Was that a massive overpay?
I love Jarrett Allen. I think he is massively undervalued long term. I'm not talking about this season per se. So is it a dynasty league?
It's a dynasty league, yeah, and it's a very deep league as well. And I like Aaron Holiday. It's a 12 team starting league.
I think it's on the surface it looks like equal value. You're going to need to have Grant Williams shooting 40% from three, I think, to ultimately come on top. But I think it's definitely doable.
Speaking of things that are doable, that I'm hoping are doable and you are definitely not, is Kyrie Irving being good this season. Let's just jump straight into the overvalued overreaction, guys. I have Kyrie Irving in a couple of Dynasty League startups because he's just looked like such great value at the position that he was at. I definitely don't think it's – I think no-brainer is the expression that I would use. It doesn't mean it's a no-doubter, by the way, before you throw all kinds of New York feces at me from a great height out of your skyscraper. I definitely understand there's a risk with him, but is Kyrie being overvalued? So I've taken him at like 30, 22. I think the earliest I took him was like, I think that was the earliest, 22 actually. I've taken him at 25, something like that. But there are people taking him, you know, as early as early in the second round. Is that nuts?
Look, when Kyrie is healthy, when Kyrie is focused, he is a top 15 player, maybe even a top 10 player. He is an incredible basketball player. But what we've seen over and over and over again is there's something missing with that guy. And it's a long season. It's a shortened season than normal, but it's still a long season, and there's going to be adversity. It's not going to be all kumbaya in Brooklyn. And there's, you know, the question becomes, when adversity hits, how is he going to react? And is he going to get injured and all of that? That said, in a perfect world, he is incredible value in the 20s. I just wouldn't pick him because I just don't trust. I think it's too risky that something, there's going to be some sort of blow up later in the year.
Now, he's a guy you actually saw live in the TD Garden as well. What was it? I mean, try and put your Kyrie hatred to the side and tell us, what was it like to see him play live? Because a lot of people listening around the world might not have had the pleasure.
Well, I saw him play live a few times in Brooklyn as well when he was on the Celtics, and saw him play live a few times in TD Garden when I would visit. He's one of the most wonderful players in the NBA to watch. And what was so awesome in Brooklyn, even though when he was still on the Celtics, every time he got the ball, there was an electric feeling in the stadium. There was just like an expectation, something awesome was just about to happen. And you could just, you know, that, you know, is one of the, probably one of my best memories of the last decade in NBA basketball, is watching Kyrie with the ball. So I have no issues with his game. I just, you know, as a Celtics fan, as most Celtics fans, just do not like the guy, and do not trust his, you know, his mental state, at given everything that we've been through.
Yeah, and just to sort of highlight what Michael was talking about with Kyrie's value, he was seventh on per game last season. And if he gets close to like 60, 62 games, that if you're getting him in the, you know, late second or early third, he's definitely value. It reminds me a bit of when I saw LaMelo Ball play here at maybe at a slightly lower level in NBL here. Every time he touched the ball, there was that same electric thing, because he just has those handles. And, you know, seeing a defender go the wrong way, even from far away, right up in the bleachers, you can still get a sense of, wow, he just absolutely destroyed that guy. And now the ball is completely in another place on the court in like 2 seconds flat, or a split second or something. Amazing. Another guy who kind of gets the pulse racing, I guess, is Jason Tatum. Now, he's somebody that was hurting me last season in field goal percentage, and I traded him away for Bam in one league, which actually worked out okay for me, although obviously Tatum finished higher. What about Jason Tatum? Are people overreacting? His field goal percentage has been pretty garbage in preseason.
It's interesting, because this is an overreaction. This happened at the start of last season. This happened at the start of the bubble. This is happening again in preseason, where the first few games he is absolutely garbage from the field, just absolutely disgusting. And then a few games in, for some reason, it takes him a few games, it seems, to get his rhythm, and then he comes back. That said, without Kemba, without Gordon, it's going to be harder for Jason Tatum to get back to the same level of efficiency that he enjoyed through the second half of last year, and into the playoffs. I believe that once Kemba comes back, you're going to see Jason Tatum just rocket into, you know, top five NBA talent, top five fantasy talent. But I do think the first half of the season could be a little rough.
Okay, well, that's a good warning for everybody. Just watch out at the beginning of the season. And potentially as well, it's something where if I have Tatum, it's maybe somebody that I fall into a punt field goal percentage build with as well. And if you're playing in nine category, that could be a way to go. And of course, in points leagues, you just draft Jason Tatum. If he falls to you at seven or eight or nine, it's really a no-brainer to take him, I would think. Mm-hmm. Switching over to the box score for today, the first game that we saw was the Charlotte Hornets up against the Orlando Magic. For the Charlotte Hornets, PJ Washington played 25 minutes. He's got some volume there, PJ. Had 17 shots, but he was putrid, 4 for 17 from the field. Mind you, he had 2 steals and a block, 7 rebounds and 2 assists. PJ, we love you, mate, at the 120 value spot value that we've been getting. Also for the Charlotte Hornets, Devontae Graham. He had 25 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. He was a beautiful 8 for 15 for the field, which is something we don't expect from DVG. He was 6 of 11 from deep. Now, Devontae, before we get to the other rest of the box score, he's somebody you wanted to say some stuff about. You're not a big fan, and you think he's fool's gold.
I think he's fool's gold. I just don't think he's good enough. And remember, he's 25 years old. This is his third year, but he's already 25 years old. He's just not going to be good enough against the best teams to play meaningful minutes and to play efficient basketball, combined with the fact that LaMelo is the future for Charlotte. And LaMelo is going to take away a lot of those assists and definitely going to be a competition for minutes at the guard spot. I mean, Devontae Graham was unplayable in many situations last year, and I think it's only going to get harder with the other options that the team now has and a distributor in Gordon Hayward, etc.
Yeah, so his assist value last season was really high. That was a 2Z score assist value. He was really high in three-pointers as well, massively high. But if those two things drop off and his field goal percentage stays around where it is, then he definitely is somebody you don't want to take inside the top, I don't know, 120 or 130 or something like that. Somebody who you might take inside the top 120, 130 potentially is Terry Rozier. And today his line was 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. He was also efficient, 8 for 14, 5 for 9 from deep. Now he's another one who gets hurt by LaMelo Ball, who, by the way, was at this disgraceful today. 1 for 10 was his line. Of those three guys, obviously DVG you're out on. Would you take Rozier or would you take a gamble on LaMelo Ball?
I would take Rozier this year. Unless it's a dynasty league, I would not be touching LaMelo this year. I think he's going to be incredibly inefficient, but incredibly exciting at the same time to watch play. But I'm also not that high. I don't think many people are that high on Charlotte, but I just don't see them in contention for the playoffs this year. A lot of people are saying maybe 7 or 8 seed. I just don't see it.
Yeah, Terry Rozier is a guy in drafts that every time I look at him, he's still there at around 100. I think, oh, I might get Terry next round, and then he's gone. He's definitely not someone that I want to be reaching for. There's a lot of red. If you look at his ranks and basketball monster from last season, he hurts you in rebounds for the position. His field goal percentage is also terrible. He doesn't get blocks. He's not that great on assists, and he's not great on steals. It's really only three-pointers and three-throw percentage. And there are other people that you can find like that really late in the last round, even potentially like Seth Curry, or your man Joe Harris over in Brooklyn. So I agree with you. I'm not in on any of those two. What about
Terry? He's naturally gifted rebounder. I watched him many years in Boston, right? So I'm surprised those rebound numbers never really jumped up. He was averaging nearly 5 rebounds a game when he was in Boston. So maybe, but I wouldn't count on it, but maybe there's room for improvement there.
Yeah, and the other thing is too, once Gordon Hayward comes back, we have to evaluate all of this stuff again in the actual in-season games, don't we, to see.
I think Gordon is going to elevate everyone's play if he can play, if he can find his way to the court. I actually think Terry's one of the guys who could benefit more from Gordon's ability to distribute the ball.
Mm. Yeah, but he's going to have to hit – he's going to have to improve his field goal percentage, obviously, with the reduced usage and just, without the rebounds and steals. I don't see him being really that exciting. You might as well take a flyer on other guys. Someone who is exciting, even though he's old and old man squad and a bit boring, is Nikola Vucevic. He had 18 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 for 6 from deep, and 7-11 from 11 from the field overall. He really is a value guy. You can't go wrong with Vuce, can you?
I love Vuce. I think you know that I love Vuce. And I expect 3 or 4 more years at this level. He's just a super efficient walking double-double. And if you can get him in the mid-20s, I think you jump.
Someone who you can't get in the mid-20s, well, you don't get in the mid-20s, you get a lot later than that, is Aaron Gordon. He had 20 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 for 6 from deep. And he was 6 for 15 from the field, so reasonably inefficient there. But that's a decent line, isn't it? With Jonathan Isaac out, are you in on Aaron Gordon or not?
I am not in on Aaron Gordon. I think he peaked a couple seasons ago, and it's going to be a slow decline from here. I also think it's his last season in Orlando. I would not be picking him in the 70s. I would wait a round or two later.
What about people who have him in dynasty leagues? Is this the last season you can probably get any value for him?
Try to get whatever you can for him right now.
What about if he's still there after pick 100 in redraft? Would you consider?
Pick him in the 90s, yeah.
But if you wait to 100, he's usually gone. Someone's got him around there. And I would be willing to pick up, someone who plays small forward and power forward and can get some assists that late. Gordo doesn't look great for dynasty, but while Isaac is out, he has some value in redraft as long as you don't reach too high. The next game on the slate this evening was the Pistons up against the Washington Wizards. The Wizards ran out winners 99 points to 96. For the Detroit Pistons, we've been looking at Jeremy Grant a little bit. He had 14 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. He's going to get you a steal or a steal and a block or a couple of steals and a block or a couple of blocks and a steal in most games probably, but that shooting 4 for 14 from is horrible. 2 for 7 from the 3-point line. He's probably going to blow up your field goal percentage pretty badly. He was 4 for 6 from the foul line as well. That's only 67%, so that might hurt you too. Someone who might hurt you in different ways because he gets hurt himself a lot is Blake Griffin. He had 24 minutes today. 11.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
7 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 for 7 from downtown. Blake Griffin is somebody you want to talk about. Are people overreacting to the fact that he's healthy and going, oh, he's going to be value? Like, people are undervaluing him. So is this one of those situations that kind of ironically, because he's undervalued by some people, other people look for value and just get smoked?
Run far and fast from Blake Griffin. He had a huge drop off last year, plus the injuries. I think you're going to see a similar relative drop off this year as well. And not just because he's well past prime and aging. Detroit is disgustingly bad, and be wary of drafting any player from Detroit. It's just going to be one of those seasons. I think they're going to be the worst team in the league.
And that's something we've talked about too with drafting, with fantasy. You want to find players that are going to have opportunity. So the contrast to this is somebody like Schroeder, who is a good player and last season for stretches was amazing, especially second half of the season. His field goal percentage was great. His foul shooting was great. His usage was high. But now he's on the Lakers, who are a really good team, and his usage is going to fall off. The flip side of that are people like Grant, who's going to have a high usage and then stink up things. And also the fact that the team is bad towards the business end of the season. We don't know what the coaches are going to be doing. So hard to predict. Another thing that is, well, maybe hard to understand is them trading for Mason Plumlee when they had Christian Wood. And they're only paying Mason Plumlee, what, $3 or $4 million a year less than Christian Wood gets in Houston. That is madness, isn't it?
It makes you sad for Detroit Pistons fans. Like, what in the world are they thinking? Other than maybe they're going full Sam Hinkie and it's all about getting the number one pick in the next three or four drafts. It's just awful. What an awful signing.
Yeah, terrible. And look, Mason Plumlee, don't be tricked as well. Late in drafts, you might think, well, he's the last valuable center there, but his three throw percentage is just really awful, enough that it could affect you badly. It doesn't have massive volume, but it's terrible. Something that is not terrible is the Fantasy Pass. All right, here's the thing. Hoopball, it's a great website. Our content is on there. Lots of other great content is on there too. We all love it. We love that it exists, but Hoopball needs to keep the lights on, keep the wolves away from the door. So for a few weeks every year, we sell stuff, especially at the beginning of the season. Obviously this year, the best deal in fantasy is here at Hoopball. It's called the Fantasy Pass. It's just $4.99 a month, and you get the entire draft guide, the Brewski 150, our DFS pass, and our all-in-season fantasy tools. That is insane. It's just $4.99 for all that stuff. Cook yourself dinner tonight inside. Order delivery instead of ordering delivery, and you can afford the fantasy pass for half a year. So please do check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com and click on the fantasy pass ad just below the main media wall. The second half of this game we need to look at now, which is the Washington Wizards, of course. Bradley Beal had 26 minutes, 15 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. He was 0 for 7 from deep, 7 for 15. Beal, we thought, would be more efficient playing with Russell Westbrook, but that was not a great start, Michael.
I think he's going to be generally more efficient. I just think his key stats, particularly around scoring, are going to suffer with ball-dominant Russell Westbrook running the show in Washington.
Mm. So if we have a look at last season, Bradley Beal was the 11th-ranked player in fantasy. He had a lot of nice, bright green, strong value categories when you look on the spreadsheet. He was, you know, obviously he was very valuable in points. He was actually really high in steals and assists as well. I wonder if that falls off, though. So if he loses points and he loses some assists and steals, he's probably going to drop out of that, you know, almost certainly going to drop out of the top edge of the top 10 and be somewhere more like the end of the second round. Bradley Beal, that is. Player on the Washington – oh, sorry, do you want to jump in?
Yeah, just I don't see him scoring 30 points a game again this year. I'd expect him to go back to around 25 a game. Maybe 5 assists and 4 rebounds, which is still awesome. Just it's not going to be the same Brad Beal. It's also a travesty he wasn't an all-star last year.
What about Russell Westbrook? In today's game, his line was 8 points. Wow, that was pretty putrid. He was 4 for 10. He only got up 10 shots. He missed 3 three-pointers. But look at those counting stats again. 7 rebounds, 3 assists. He had a steal in there as well. Only 17 minutes, though. We can't read too much into this.
I love watching Russell Westbrook play, but I just think this is not going to be a great season for him. In a points league, you always get Russell Westbrook, but I just think there's too much downside with his shooting numbers. It's going to be rough, especially if you're picking the top 20.
And just finishing with a little tidbit on the Wizards front, if you still haven't drafted yet, Thomas the Tank Bryant, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 for 6 from deep. Something happened to me yesterday. I think I had a complete brain fade and I took Brandon Clark instead of Thomas Bryant in a dynasty league. Was that complete insanity?
I think so. I think Thomas Bryant is looking like you're like a future Vucevic. What draft pick are we? Did you have?
I think it was around about 60, 65, something like that.
I definitely like Tommy the Tank at 65 over Brandon Clark.
Yeah. Brandon Clarke was a reach, definitely. I don't know. I think I was sort of panicking about him missing so many games last season, and these things kind of impregnate your brain. Even though Clarke is the one who's been injured most recently, I think you remember things that hurt you in fantasy the season before a lot, and sometimes you can overreact to that, especially when you're under the pressure of like 1 minute picks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. The third game of the evening was the Atlanta Hawks, one of our big narratives for the season, up against the Memphis Grizzlies. For the Atlanta Hawks, DeAndre Hunter, and you were talking about overreaction, people overreacting to stuff. These are the kind of lines he can put up alongside the reasonably good ones. Today was 4 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 0 for 7 from the floor, and 0 for 5 from the three-point line. The issue is, isn't it, with that kind of performance, he could fall out of the starting rotation, couldn't he, if you put up a few of those?
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of interesting, talented players on that roster, so keep a close eye on the rest of his preseason and the early games in the regular season.
And somebody who started today at shooting guard and who could be in line to maybe start at small forward if they go smaller and take DeAndre Hunter's spot is Cam Reddish. He had 18 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 for 6 from deep, 8 for 9 from the line, getting to the foul line. That's a really good sign. 4 for 9 overall. What about Cam Reddish? He's somebody you prefer to Hunter, like most people do, but would you take Cam Reddish in the 11th or 12th round even, or only in the last round of a draft?
I think you can take him. I just don't see him ever being more than an average NBA player, though. I think he's more like a 13, 5-2 kind of guy, 5 at best in terms of rebounds. You look at even the number today, yes, you love to see the free throws, but 18 points, okay, but there's nothing else. There's really nothing else other than the free throws. So I don't know. There's a lot of talent on that team, and I just don't see him as a standout player going in, you know, at least through this year.
But in preseason, he ranks as the 48th player, but that usage is at 25. Last season, his usage was at 19, and they've got even more players. When his usage was at 19, he was the 201st ranked player. So if that usage drops back off to like 20 or under, then he's not going to have value. Somebody who does have value for the Hawks is Clint Capella. His line today was also very bad. And he played 15 minutes, though. 4 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. He didn't have any blocks today, but he would normally get you blocks. This is a preseason thing, isn't it? We need to see him in 25 minutes before we judge.
I don't think so. I don't think he makes sense on this team. I was really confused by Clint Capella ending up in Atlanta. You've got John Collins. This is, you know, he should be playing the majority of, you know, small ball center minutes. And why not bring in a bruiser? Why not bring in someone like Aaron Baines on smart money to bash some skulls and, you know, in the paint? Why a rim runner like Clint Capella can't spread the floor, can't shoot, it's only going to clog it up in the middle? For that reason, I'm a little down. John Collins is an incredible player, but I'm a little bit down on John Collins' value relative to perception. And I'm not super high on Capella unless you can get him, you know, in the 60s or later.
Yeah, and I got him, I think, 68 or something in a draft that I'm very happy with that. But I agree, it doesn't really make sense. And it certainly hurts John Collins as well, though he was much more efficient and valuable today. He had 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 for 8 from the field, and he hit a 3-pointer as well. It's messy, isn't it, with John Collins and Capella, but is John Collins someone you like?
I'll always like John Collins. I think he's got a bright future ahead. I just hope they can sort out this stuff with Capella, because I don't think it's net on net very good for the Hawks.
So the last team we need to talk about today are the Memphis Grizzlies. Before we talk about the Memphis Grizzlies, I need to tell you about something very important, which is taking care of the hair on your body with Manscaped. Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. The Manscaped has just released the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of all of your holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as good as the places downstairs. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear and hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in your delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual blade system. It's the only nose and hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? I sometimes do that at the table, much to my wife's chagrin. And it also hurts a lot, much worse than even nicking your balls just about. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene, which is, of course, very, very important, especially these days. You'll get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of our partners polled say that long nose hair is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code HOOPBALL20. What are you waiting for? Go and whack your weeds. We've got just one player on the Memphis Grizzlies queued up to talk about. Maybe I'll talk about a couple more first before we get to Grayson Allen. Dylan Brooks, 17 points. This is the problem with him. One rebound, one assist. He got a steal. It was 6 of 13 and 5 for 8 from the three-point line, salvaged it. But Dylan Brooks is somebody I like to stay away from. Ja Morant was good today. DeAndre Melton, 14 points, one rebound, two assists. He got a block as well, 17 minutes. If he can get up to 22, 23 million minutes, he has some value. Grayson Allen, 13 points, six rebounds, two assists, two steals, three for three from deep, 18 minutes. Is he somebody worth watching, Michael?
I just wanted to take note of Grayson Allen because I don't know if the numbers particularly show it, but he was dramatically better in his second year in Memphis. I think it's a better fit. And he might be the kind of player that just ends up finding his way into the, you know, I don't know if he's going to be a starter or a six man, but I see him playing major minutes. And if you look at his per 36, pretty solid. And particularly with the growth in efficiency from year one to year two, I'd take a flyer on him as my last pick. I don't think he's on anyone's radar. I know he's a hated player, but he's actually kind of fun to watch, and he does make winning plays.
Yeah, well, for me, I think he's probably just a streamer, if anything. His value in the preseason is 164, which works out as a last-round pick. But if you look at last season, even with high usage or higher usage or similar usage he's had in the preseason, he was the 305th-ranked player. Very, you know, poor in points, rebounds, assists, steals are bad as well, blocks are bad. He's really only got value in threes, which is negligible, and he doesn't make a lot of turnovers. The season before, when he had a higher usage, he was even worse, ranked 462nd. So yeah, we should probably...
He played better later on in the season, and I just want to keep an eye on him. He's just one of those players, particularly in like a dynasty league, I'd be willing to buy low on Grayson Allen.
Okay, so let's finish off today by you. You're a man who loves his stats and loves evaluating things. Tell me about this 9-cat rotor. This was in Dan Bespris from Fantasy NBA Today, one of his private cash leagues. God, I was nervous as all hell going in. Shout out to my partner, Logan, Uncle Logan over in the US. He and I were banging back and forth. We had our spreadsheets open. We had projections up, and we were debating. We ended up with this team. I'll read it out for you. Here we go. Drum roll. The team is, and this is 9-cat Roto drafting from the number 11 spot, Trey Young, Paul George, Christian Wood, LaMarcus Aldridge, OG, Thomas Bryant, there he is, Kelly Oubre Jr., Markel Fultz, Alfred Payton, PJ Washington, DeAndre the Giant, Jordan, Danny Green, Joe Harris, Jordan Clarkson, and Darius Garland. What do you think about that?
A few names stand out there. Christian Wood in round three. Love that. Joe Harris, late round value. Wow. Who are you drafting?
It's this is the thing when you do the reading. I should be showing you this. This is bad hosting. But I can tell you all, according to Basketball Monster projections, we came out with 68 roto point projection. Second is 62.5, quite a distance behind. We don't have any weaknesses. Things that stand out there in terms of the drafting was how you draft for value in different places, but also for categorical scarcity and how you fix things up. So we took LaMarcus Aldridge in the fourth round, amazing for three-pointers for a big man, but then we were dying for rebounds and field goal percentage was bad. So our next picks were OG, Thomas Bryant, Kelly Oubre Jr. So we got our you know, big man stats, we got our rebounds, we got OG steals and blocks, but then we were dog shit for assists. So the next pick we went and got we got Markel Fultz, and then because we'd sorted out our field goal percentage, we got Alfred Payton after that. So something for people listening, I guess, and if you're interested, I'll post this on my Twitter, go and have a look. I'll ask for people to evaluate it. I won't say where Dan ended up. I can just say maybe Basketball Monster doesn't value the old man squad as much as he does, but we'll see what they all say on Twitter about that. But definitely looking at how you sort of, you know, it's like you push down a ferret that pops out of a hole in one side and then another one pops out somewhere else and you have to kind of fix it up as you're going along for drafting for categories. Michael, what type of fantasy do you like playing the most? Do you play categories? Do you play points? Do you play 9-cat, 8-cat? And what? Give us one tip to finish off for today.
Okay, so if I'm playing, I love a points league for the simplicity of it, if I'm just doing a redraft league, but I do love Dynasty. I do love Dynasty. I'm fascinated by these Dynasty leagues that also incorporate contracts. I haven't jumped into one of those at this point, but maybe that's next year. And so I guess my only piece of advice is don't pay a ton of attention to preseason. Focus on your players and obviously make sure that they look like they're going to be in the rotation and fit well with any new pieces around them. But generally speaking, most players do not make massive leaps year to year, up or down. So I just like to focus on where a player is in their career, what trajectory they are on year over year. And you know, there's not a lot of Christian Woods out there, for example. So,
yes, indeed. Yeah. There is not a lot of Christian Woods. Well, Michael, thanks very much for joining us. We've kept you up very late on Saturday night in New York. Where are you? Aren't you in your office at the moment, up on the 90th floor or something?
Yeah, 85th floor in the World Trade Center. And quick story real quick is, you know, just before we were about to record, I had to skip to use the restroom. And the security in this building is pretty intense. And I forgot my key card. I had to run down to the first floor. And the only reason they let me up is because I was wearing my Celtics hat. And the guy said, yeah, I'm from Boston. I trust you. I'm going to let you in. So there you go.
There you go. Well, I don't trust you being a Celtics fan, but I do like you, and thank you for coming on the show today. That is the end of the Box Score Breakdown. We will be back tomorrow to break down box scores. We've only got a couple of sleeps till the season starts. It's going to be really, really exciting. We'll be ramping up, of course, with the hoop ball guests that we have on normally, various experts, and then other people like Michael who play in leagues and have a lot of acumen that they're willing to share. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Take care.
All right. Bye for now, guys, and we'll see you over on Twitter. Remember, I'm Mr. Jolly of Sydney, and that's where you can find me. Go and give me a follow. Also give the Haarlander 23 follow on Twitter as well, and we will see you over there for a chat. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.